Get ready.
So pretty much, all right. So pretty much, I went to the East Coast Gaming Conference back at the end of April, which is a big gathering. It's like more of a sort of a social, not really. I mean, yeah, it's social, but it's more of a business type conference for game developers and everything. That meets. That's the largest one on the East Coast, and they meet up in Raleigh or at the Raleigh Convention Center. Excuse me. So. Anyways, I got invited there because it was either that or go to Animazement, and I decided to pick that because, you know, my friend was obviously going to be. It just kind of worked out better for us because I needed to take a vacation break from school, and it just worked out better that I went to that.
So where was ECGC?
I was in the Raleigh Convention Center in downtown Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Is that where you saw Iron Man?
The movie?
Weren't they filming it there or something?
Oh, that was something else. Yeah, like, supposedly my friend was on Facebook, like, last week stating, or this past week stating that, like, they're doing film shots or some filming at the Epic Games Studio in SAS and Cary.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what it's for, but it's part of Iron Man 3, so I don't even know what scene it's going to be involved with or anything. So we'll find that out by next year. I guess, but that's what my friend was saying, and I was just, I don't know, I kind of joked, like, yeah, maybe, like, Tony Stark's suit needs the new Unreal Engine in it to develop better, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually went there for, like, technical advice or something.
I mean, or that, or I think there might have been, like, maybe an in-game Iron Man they're going to promote in the movie that maybe, probably is going to be using the Unreal Engine in it, so who knows.
Oh, like the video game sequences in Scott Pilgrim or something? That kind of thing?
Maybe, or, like, maybe it's Tony Stark in the third movie. He's like, I'm going to go to game development because I'm Tony Stark.
Yeah, you should, since he quit down.
And everybody can get onto this large server and pilot my Iron Man suit when I'm not using it. Wait, that sounds like a bad idea.
Then there's, like, a bunch of lag, like on Diablo 3 or something. Like, people can't...
Their latency is, like, so low and they can't even, like, keep up. They're, like, they're trying to, like, turn past a mountain, but the Iron Man suit just, like, goes through five of them by the time it responds.
Exactly.
And then it's, like, on today's news, Tony Stark's Iron Man suit ran through some mountains in Afghanistan again. Tony's like, do we need to go down for server maintenance? We'll be back whenever. I think that'd be a cool plot for Iron Man. He's like a game developer, and I don't know. And then maybe that'll tie in with Wreck-It Ralph.
There was an episode of Beavis and Butthead last season where they were like controlling drones, and they thought it was like a video game. I could
That was a good episode.
I could totally imagine them doing it with like Iron Man.
Yeah, that. I didn't even finish the rest of the Beavis and Butthead like episodes. Like, I saw like the first four, and that was like in the first four episodes.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's good old classic Beavis and Butthead there.
Yeah, it's just like the old stuff. I think they're doing another season, but I don't know when.
Yeah, it's good that it's that successful, but so anyways, yeah, let me talk about the East Coast Gaming Conference. So, yeah, it's a big developers conference and everything. There's a lot of companies over there. Funcom, which they're based in Durham, was there. Vicious Cycle, which is another local company. They did the Eat Lead games. And, like, during the PS2 era, they did the Robotech games, which, briefly, some history on that is, like, they wanted to make a mech game, but I think Harmony Gold approached them to make a Robotech game. And that's how they came about to be to make the Robotech game. Like, EA was there. Red Storm, the people behind the Ghost Recon games were there since they're based out of like Chapel Hill. And they had the new Ghost Recon game like for as a demo like a month before it got released. But like it's like, oh wow, I got to play the new Ghost Recon game, but it's like nothing to like completely flip my nut over. It was because like, all I did like playing against other people there was like, oh, I got the biggest freaking machine gun and just like mowed the crap out of anybody that moved. So like I know the term support fire when it comes to like I see a guy and they're gonna hide from cover. But see, I got 300 or 400 rounds, so I just hold the trigger down and just kind of like take like walk up to their corner and I just with the trigger down I just whip my gun around and just mow 100 more rounds into them. That's my strategy. And it's probably a dick move, but I mean it's my strategy.
So how many Ghost Recons have they made? Is it getting like yearly sequels like so many games are?
I guess it's becoming yearly sequels. I don't know. I just remember when they made Rainbow Six back in the Dreamcast N64 days, and that was a big thing. And now it's just kind of, now they got like, you know, Advanced Warfighter or Graw, and I don't know. There's so many. I don't really play them a lot. Hardly ever, actually. I think the only Tom Clancy game I really got into was, or like maybe at one point was Rainbow Six, because that was like hot back then. And now that's like a completely obsolete game.
It looks like Wikipedia says they've made like 13 of them since 2001, so it is pretty much yearly.
They also had the indie the indie developers aisle, which was basically like my friend's game with Mighty Rabbit Studios, which is Saturday Morning RPG. I pretty much helped them out of their booth because it was my friend's studio and everything. And it was funny because like my friends would take shifts and they would ask me like, dude, can you run this booth? I'm like, yeah, dude, no problem. I got it. So people would come over there because I played the first episode, so I know how the gameplay works and everything. So then people would come over there and ask me like, oh, dude, are you with the company? I said, well, I am now for the next couple of hours. But, yeah, what kind of questions do you have? I just completely chilled out with him and talked to people and, like, pretended I knew what I was doing, which worked fantastically.
You could, actually answer their questions. You know what they're...
Yeah. I mean, I would take the information my friend has told me, like, regarding, like, oh, when they're going to do, episode updates. And I'm like, well, it's, going to be every couple months. And, like, it's coming out from the Android market at the end of this year. And, all this other stuff. Just... That was pretty much basic information. Like I showed them how to play the game and they'd sample it. And we also like talked about other games too. So it was a cool thing to experience. Like, cause I'm a hands-on person. I like helping out other people. I helped my friend out last year in Amazement when I had to like take down his stuff from the dealer's room and everything, which I talked about that in my Amazement review last year for E3. But, and again, with me going to this, I wasn't able to go to Animazement this year, which kind of sucked, it did. But I'm trying to think of what else. Like, oh yeah, the Escapists were actually there. And the Escapists is actually doing their own convention in Durham, like in August, and Yahtzee's supposed to be there. Or he's going to be there. So that's something that, if you people listen to this and you're in the Durham area, that's something to really check out. And I'm not sure what weekend it is, but it's sometime in August is what they told me. And they had like a bunch of like these little like pins with like the Yahtzee logo on it and like zero punctuation and stuff. I just grabbed like a handful of those. It was pretty cool. And Insomniac Games were there too.
So you told some people in the area about the show, right? Like Spike Spencer and then some people at other cons, right?
That was when we did the Cool Kids Club. That was at NashiCon.
That's true. They wouldn't know about the new podcast, right?
Oh no! Unless they respond, and I can tell them, yeah, we got this new podcast now. Yeah. Spike Spencer's never going to respond. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he might try to go to TuneRadio.net or something, and it's down. You know.
Yeah, it felt like he got handled over, and I'm like, well, I mean, I did handle it unprofessionally, giving him our podcast name on like a piece of paper with like no card or anything, because I don't know how it works. I need to get better at business stuff, but
that'd be funny if you just had business cards for our podcast that you just give out to people. I guess
for getting listeners, yes, but like regarding us for promoting and handing out to guests and people I want to speak to on the show, then yeah, that's a good option there.
Yeah, Tony used to have like flyers for Geek Central, his website, that he'd put all around campus on billboards and stuff.
I don't think that really helped his cause, because he shut down that site like years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, the guy who paid for it shut it down because it was a failure, and he didn't want to waste any more money on it.
Yeah, it was kind of like our soapbox, hidden soapbox, like agenda place to talk about people on that TZ website behind their backs.
Yeah, it was just what TZ Watch was before that existed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And TZ Watch is something that hasn't even existed in a few years either.
Yeah, Zach shut it down. I think there's like a new one or something, but I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, like, I mean, we don't even go on that site anymore, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't really rant about people I don't give a crap about for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't ever log on there, so there's not much I should say about that place.
Yeah. They had, like, it was pretty much with the conference. There was a bunch of classes regarding for game development. There was actually quite a few schools, like, on the East Coast that showed up there. Like, I represented my school. And I went to some of these conferences. I was more interested in the basics of like using UDK. Was one of the classes I attended. There was one that was like one of the level designers for Epic Games was talking about level design and really how to use effects on there. There's a college, and I mean I got a bunch of these business cards here. I just don't feel like looking through them, but there was a college in Virginia that has like their own game. It's like their school, their community college is set up for game design pretty much. Like, you know those movie studios that have like the 3D models, like you put in the suit and it has like the dots all over them?
Yeah.
Like their schools spend like 10 grand on that, and that's what they use to develop games.
Wow.
And they've made actual really cool like cutscene of like using their school being blown up by like an alien invasion and stuff. It's pretty sweet.
That seems pretty cool. The best, the only panel I really saw advertised in the book at the Phoenix Comic Con was how to make brony hooves. This was an actual like seminar they were doing at the Phoenix Comic Con.
Wait, how to make hooves?
Yeah, My Little Pony. I don't know.
Well. I mean, at least it's like something they can't stick their dick into it.
Yeah, I guess.
That sounds pretty... a heck of a lot better than making it. I just got back from hanging out with one of my friends in Greenville, so for like a few hours today, and I told him about the plushie doll that was designed for people to stick their dicks in.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like, "Wait, what?" I said, "Yeah." And I told him it sold for about $900. And he was just like, "Dude, what?" And My Little Pony is just like, you know, it's going to be looked on as a really good show.
Yeah.
But then also with that, you have to look at the insanely stupid fan base that followed it.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only bad thing about it is the fan base.
Daff sent me some link about this. There were like 320 somethings that had given. They met some 13-year-old girl on a brony site. And, like, gave her a bunch of presents, and then, like, had her have sex with them, and now they're going to jail, these bronies. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on the brony sites. It's really
sick.
Oh,
my gosh. Which, by the way, this has nothing to do with the ECGC, but we're just getting off topic a little bit.
Yeah, I hope there weren't any bronies there at ECGC.
No, this is more of a professional conference. It used to be called Digital Game Expo that my friend has been going to for the past few years. And when they first started, everyone thought it was a gaming, like an actual like anime convention. So people cosplayed as like Final Fantasy characters and would walk into these seminars and people would just like glare at them like, "Dude, what the hell are you doing here?" And they're like, they were like shocked, like, "Dude, this isn't the convention we thought it would be." So, like, the conference itself, to get in, like, a basic ticket is, like, $100. Because they want people that go there to actually, like, get, you know, find jobs. And people were there to promote their, like, you know, their art talents. One dude had a data matrix on his forehead. So, like, if he had a smartphone, you scan it, it'll probably be his profile. And, like, his resume. Like, he just had it on his forehead that weekend.
Wait,
which is a cool way to promote.
It was, like a QR code or something? Like, you scan it with your phone?
Yeah, a data matrix QR code that this guy had on his forehead and he walked around the conference, which, you know, people look at it like, well, what's that? And I'm sure it was like the guy, I didn't try it, but I'm sure it's the guy's, like, you know, resume.
The first time I heard about those QR codes was this guy got one, like, tattooed on his arm, and when you scan it, it was like some sort of animation or something. But I didn't know that was, like, widespread now, that people are doing that.
One of my projects last semester was I did a QR code through watercolor painting, which it wound up using – I wound up using pencil or pencil – not pencil crayon, but, like, yeah, color pencils.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was really – it's hard to intricate detail with that. And I tried to do it as an Andy Warhol painting too, so – It was like 90% color pencils and like 10% watercolor. Well, I don't know. It was something I wanted to do, and it may have not been like a beautiful painting, but it was something I definitely wanted to try out.
Well, did it actually work after it got scanned?
It can only stuff like that can only scan if it has like if the code itself is in black. If you try doing it in different colors, it doesn't recognize it. Like, it doesn't matter what's on the background. So I did test with this on the computer screen. Like, I had the different colors for the backgrounds of the section because it was all one big code, but just broken up in the colored squares. And, like, the code itself was black. So if we had, like, a QR scanner, it'll still read it because it's reading the code itself because it's still black. But if you painted that a different color, it's not going to recognize it.
So did you use, like, an actual QR code for something, or was it just squares?
It was an actual QR code that was, like, you know, created by, you know, Dustin Copeland. So... But then what I had to do, because it couldn't read, I put a QR code above the painting. So then, like, you know, if once it got, well, you know, so people can actually scan it, be like, well, you know, what does it say or what does this mean? So they would scan it and be like, oh, cool.
Oh, so it just said created by Dustin Copeland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the conference itself is more for job bases and everything. Like, I told my teachers I was going to skip school for a few days and go there, and I hooked up with this one lady through Autodesk, which handles the programs for Maya. But apparently the school that I'm going to, like, they think it's ridiculous to pay the fees for Maya, even though Maya is a, like, you know, Autodesk is a much better program to use than what we're using. But... And then I also got interviewed, or I got, like, on this podcast called Real Time Expectations, which I talked about game design with them, at least for me being a student. And I talked to them for like 10, 15 minutes. it was like half the conversation about game design. Then we got into like me talking about anime briefly. And I pretty much ended it with like, yeah, there's some really bad anime out there. My personal of that is Crystal Triangle. And then I pretty much spoiled the ending. Like, yeah, Crystal Triangle has God as a caterpillar blood that's killed by a Russian stealth bomber. Go see it.
Wow, we should do a episode on that someday, huh?
Oh, damn that anime. And I mean, damn it to hell.
And then when's Kawajiri month? Are we still doing that?
Yeah, I think we should... We should tackle that next. I need to come up with an agenda or something again, but... I like for us to tackle that Fantastic Four movie I told you about.
Yeah.
Which my friend that I saw today, I told him about it, but he's had it on DVD, which means he got it on DVD at a comic book area. So he's seen the movie.
Yeah, at the Phoenix Comic Con, there were a lot of bootleg movies. Like, they had the 70s Doctor Strange made for TV movie and all this obscure stuff like that.
Yeah, you can probably find, like, the red-brown Captain America movies there, and, like, obviously the David Hasselhoff Nick Fury movie.
Yeah, and then there were, like, fake DVDs that they had made of those old 60s Marvel cartoons as well.
Oh, nice.
Those things have terrible graphics. I can't imagine how bad it looks on a big screen.
You can buy, like, animated pilots there. Like, there was the Method or Alpha Counter podcast actually reviewed called... It was something in the Dreamweavers. I can't think. It might have been Alice in the Dreamweavers or something. But they found... Like, Sean Ryan found that at a comic convention in North Carolina and picked that up. But it was like a pilot for, like, something that was never going to get take off. And it sounded like the way they reviewed it sounded like it was a more pornographic version of like Cool World or something.
Oh, so was it like Bakshi-ish? Or
it's called Robin and the Dreamweavers, but the what?
Was it like a Ralph Bakshi kind of thing?
I have no clue. I heard the review about it, and I'm like, this kind of sounds bad.
Yeah. It says this was made by someone called Lou Scheimer.
Wait, did you type in Robin and the Dreamweavers?
Yeah, this was some guy who, it says he was Dumb Donald on Fat Albert.
Oh, okay.
And then he made this Dreamweavers thing. Pretty weird.
Yeah, it's like a pilot that never actually went anywhere.
It says it's about Robin, the first human ever born in cyberspace, battling the evil silent triple XXX.
That was the pilot. That was the plot that I heard when they reviewed that.
It says she desired an earthly body and gained power through mankind's baser carnal instincts. So, this sounds pretty weird.
There's probably a market for it.
It says this is from the late 90s.
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to go on Showtime or HBO, which, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But no, I've actually had some fun experiences at the conference, especially this is, like, more of a personal thing for me, but, like, I found that I need to work on trying to get... In other words, I was able to hook up with a girl there for like a day. And then the next day I realized this is not going to work out. So I need to have a better discernment and judgment when it comes to me, like either when I pick up chicks, and then also like to make sure that, well, I got out of, it was like an, it's not like I was a situation I wanted to be with anyways, but pretty much the way it happened was there was a raffle going on at one of the booths, which I'll get to that in a sec. Just remind me. But this one girl that was like one of the like the staffers there was like still in college or whatever, and she was just like, "Oh, you're gonna buy the ticket for me?" And obviously, my first dumb instinct is, "Oh, well, if I get a ticket for you, what are you gonna do for me?" Which makes me sound creepy to begin with.
Yeah, that's not that's,
a, yeah. It was something along those lines, and I said it to my friend's coworkers, which they laughed at me for, and I'm like, "Look, I don't remember exactly what I said, but if that's what I said, then." I have to be inclined to agree, because yeah, that is like... something I would say. I told you this is more like a mental thing of me getting better at that. But
I can't believe she did. She responded positively to that.
Yeah, she said yes. Because I said, well, I asked like, well, you know, what if I take you to lunch or something if I buy this ticket for you? And the ticket's like $5. And she just actually said okay, and which obviously shows she had some really low self-esteem. To hook up with a guy like me. But no, so this goes on. So that's like you think I looked bad in this? It kind of goes equal, I think. But so anyways, I talked to her for a few minutes and we exchanged phone numbers, like so we can meet up the next day and go get lunch, like I promised her. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like the next day, she comes over to my friend's booth and I came out of some classes and stuff. And so, like, we're going down to this, like, Greek pita place, like, that's near the convention center. And so, like, I'm asking her, like, you know, she's obviously an anime fan. So I asked her, like, okay, so like, what kind of anime do you like? And she's just like, well, I really don't have a favorite. And I'm like, her theory was that with her having a favorite, she'd be over-obsessed on something. But she's already an anime fan. So
that
logic's kind of flawed.
It's not like you just, like... choose an anime that's going to be your favorite. You have to, like, you know, you have to watch them all first, you know?
If she's, yeah, well, she's already going to be obsessed. Yeah, I'm not even close to being done with this. So, anyways, so I asked him, like, you know, I'm just kind of like, you know, how do you not have a favorite? And she gave me her answer on that. So I was just like, well, if you had to pick a genre, like, what kind of favorite genre would you incline to be like more? And she's like, well, I do want to say I like Yaoi a lot. And I was just like, okay. That is her straight response to me. And then I asked about, like, movies and stuff, and she gave me the exact same answer in video games. She's like, I don't have a favorite. I don't have a favorite. And I'm like, So then we get to this place, and then I'm like offering. I offered a couple of times or a few times, like, dude, you know, I told you I covered this. And she's like, no, it's okay. So then she buys like cheesecake or something. Well, she complains about it being like completely frozen to ice, which And she complains about wasting money on that. And I'm like, well, you know, I offered to buy you something there, and if I bought it, you wouldn't complain about it. And I think that's how I worded it to her. But then we had a discussion about Resident Evil 5, which was kind of cool. And then and I was just like, and then I kind of it got to the point where like it was I felt like it was awkward for both of us, and it was awkward for me. So then I was just like, hey, I got to get back to my booth, and I guess I'll catch you around later. And she's like, oh, okay. And I get back to my booth, and I'm just like, and I to one of the guys I talked to, which he already knows about this girl from a friend of his that liked her at one point. And I went up to him and was just like, dude, your friend who's interested in her, she can have her. That's exactly what I told him. He's like, dude, no, don't worry. He's not even interested in her right now. And I'm like, all right. But I told her, like, when I left that day, like, we had our phone numbers, and I'll totally ask you as a friend on Facebook. And I haven't done that. And I probably won't.
Did she give you, like, her... I guess you can just search her name on there, right?
I know her first name. I think it's Kristen or something.
You don't even know her full name.
This is a month and a half ago, so I've kind of... Let's say I sort of lost her phone number.
Oh.
So to speak. So I have no way to contact her.
And she hasn't called you either.
What?
And she hasn't called you either.
No, I haven't heard anything from her, so I always have to assume that I was probably really creepy, which, fine. I can live with that, because it was my mistake. I can own up to that.
Was she, like, asking you to pay for the thing? She just walked up to you and said, hi, buy me a ticket?
Yeah, that's pretty much with her response. And the sucker that I am was trying to put on the crappy amount of charm that I have.
I guess that girls at cons can just get away with that.
Well, that's conferences. Like, I don't even have that kind of look at, like, an amazement. And I go to something like that, and that happens. And I don't know. It goes to show how easy I am.
I guess at cons, people don't have very high standards. Like, remember all that stuff with Fido McCoke Fiend?
Yeah, I think that's just nerds in general. I mean, I have standards. I may not sound like I do right now, but I do hold on to some standards. That's not the best part. So, I got a friend of mine, and he's made bets with me in the past of, like, if I go to Animazement and I get a girl's number, he'll give me, like, $20. So, it's always been, like, this friendly debate. Well, as soon as I got this girl's number, like, the first day, like, it finally hit me, like, wait, I can scam my friend out of $10. Or $20 or something. So then what I did was, like me and one of his coworkers were like, all right, we got to word this to Josh to try to get him sucked into us, or he's going to figure it out. And so anyways, I was just like, dude, I got it. Don't worry about it. So then I told him, like, you know, ma'am, there's this girl I really like, but I don't think she knows I exist. And I don't know, man. And he's just like, well, you know, you should at least try or whatever. And I was just like, well, I bet you, like, well, dude, I'll tell you what. What if you bet me like 10 or 15 bucks for me to get this girl's phone number? Because at least I feel like I'm more inclined to do that. And he's like, dude, all right, I'll set you up with that. But granted, I already had the girl's number for like 30 minutes. So
wait, so he was paying you for her number, and then he was going to call her and say, hi, someone gave you my number, or like...
No. This is on a guy's bet, which he's been betting me. Because he's been trying to help me out in my romance life since we've been friends.
Uh-huh.
So, like, he's betting with me. He's always made bets with me. Like, if I get a girl's phone number, like, I get an incentive out of it from him. Because then I feel like there's a double reward for that.
I see.
So this is just me being a jerk to him and scamming him out of $10.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, like, I was going to tell him the next day or something. But she wants to come by the table, like, before we leave. And I was just like, yeah, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. And she was like, okay, great. And he's like, he looks at me and he goes, dude, it's like, I'm out $10. And I'm like, yep.
did he give it to you?
Well, we kind of went out to Lejeune that Saturday, so he kind of compensated on, like, paying partial for gas and stuff. So it worked out.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of a friendly bet thing there, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sound. I mean, I don't ask girls out, you know, so I can get like their phone numbers and get like and win lame bets from my friends. You know, obviously it's the start of a relationship, but I don't know. it's like I really know how to pick them. That's what kept running through my mind. I was like, yeah, Dustin, I really sure know how to pick them. But in all respect, don't do what I just did. People who listen to this, just don't. And I will learn how to get better.
Do you think a lot of people go to cons to do that kind of stuff?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, yeah, because people, like, the American cons, you know, system is, like, you know, they have, like, you know, dating games and stuff. And, you know, it's like a way to, you know, it's a social event where people can hook up and, you know, meet each other, meet spouses and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, AWA had a, Dragon Con had, like, this, like, blind date or speed dating thing there. That's what I heard. Because, like, one of the co-hosts from Method of Madness or Alpha Counter went to Dragon Con, and he got suckered into that, which is, he said that was, like, the worst, like, a really bad experience for him.
Is Dragon
and
Con...
And he told about it. I was just like, dude, that sucks.
Is Dragon Con the one in Atlanta?
Yeah, Dragon Con's usually, like, a month before Anime Week in Atlanta.
Hmm.
Yeah, the talk about the conference a little bit more. Like, apparently there was also, you know, no conferences without any kind of, like, hot girls modeling, you know, advertisements. Which they had, like, two girls in NOS uniforms, like these NOS, like, one-piece, like, miniskirt outfits there. Which they just did nothing the entire time but just look hot. And, like, at the end of the day, like, when they were leaving, they were handing out, like, huge, huge cases of NOS cans. So then they came over to us, like, hey, guys, you want NOS cans? And then we're like, sure. So, like, I got, like, three cans out of it because it was all free that weekend. So my friend in his game studio got, like, four cases of it that they had to load that onto, like, this big dolly with, like, the TV and the rest of their stuff. And so they're like, great, this is going to be our drink for the next month. Or next couple of weeks, but...
Wait, how big were these things?
There was one case that was, like, a 12-can case, and there was the others that was, like, maybe 24 or 32, and they were, like, shrink-wrapped. And these are the kind that, like, you get, like, people at, like, stores get, like, in quantity so they can, like, you know, put it on the shelf to sell it. Like, one at a time or whatever. So that's what they had there, but they had, like, so many extra cases in their NOS vehicle. And, yeah, my friend and his company got, like, three or four cases of it. So, like, it was just sitting in their couch, like, and it's probably gone. It's definitely gone by now since I was a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember I tried, like, one of the, like, citrus NOS drinks, like, one Saturday morning, like, I think, like, the week I got back because I had to do something. And I got, like, maybe an eighth of the way down, and I just, like, went outside and dumped it on the ground because it was so disgusting. I couldn't stand it.
Oh, you wouldn't want to have those big cans?
I've got two other cans sitting in my room. Like, I have the regular one, and then I got this fruit punch. I think it's fruit punch.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's loaded cherry, and they're just going to sit in my room because I don't want to drink them. They're just, like, holding up my Laserdisc player, like, collection a little bit.
Maybe you should bribe girls with them, like, with the tickets, you know? They might like it.
I am a changed man, David. That I've learned from my mistakes. It was a good learning experience for me. So, I just know never to say things like that and to really, really think of what I'm going to say before I just say it.
Well, this is probably not as bad as, you know, what came after or whatever, where she was talking about the yaoi.
Yeah, that was, like, the biggest slap in the face, clear warning sign to this is not going to work out, ditch this girl. And also, like, she had, I don't think she bathed, because she was over in our center playing, like, or testing her game out, which, like, I was kind of unsure about it, but then I smelled BO on her. Which meant she didn't take a shower that night, which I'm like, no, no, that's disgusting.
That's not just the general convention smell?
No, it was not the conference smell. Everyone else smelled fine. I was next to her, and I didn't get that from anybody else. I'm pretty sure it came from her. Mark my words.
Well, I hope she doesn't hear this.
I don't think she will either. I mean, I think I mentioned her name. I don't know.
Did you mention this to her or no?
I didn't. I think I said I had a podcast, but I didn't give her a link to my blog or anything. Maybe I don't know if I did or not. I don't remember.
Hmm.
Yeah, if she does listen to this, sorry, it just wasn't going to work out. Hate to tell you a month and a half later. I love him, and I don't love him and leave him fast. That is the player that I am.
Yeah. Have you been hearing the bird in the background?
Your Pokemon Spearow calling?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not really.
Oh.
Why, is it like abnormally loud for you or something?
No, it's just screaming. They do that. It's kind of weird.
It couldn't be as bad as like our Ogre Slayer podcast that we did. Like it was no, it was that and your dog.
Yeah, he was crying in here.
It was like we're making like I remember making a comment and your dog. I just heard word. It just timed in perfectly.
Yeah, fortunately he doesn't come in here and do that anymore.
Oh, that's good. But
if he did, I know how to mute the mic now. So
yeah, you know how to do that better. But yeah, that's the East Coast Gaming Conference. Oh no, I got to talk about the raffle thing. Okay, so there was two tables that were doing raffles. It was one by Funcom, and the other was done by this like other website that promotes stuff. And they had a bunch of like cool stuff they're giving away, like autographed posters and stuff like that. But I decided to pick the raffle booth that everyone believed, and it's true that it was pretty much rigged. Because the people that were running it, like they were able to basically participate in the raffle themselves. And the girl, like when I joined in, like that Thursday, like when they called the raffle, this girl won two of the biggest items on there. And she had the tickets, you know, to prove it, but it was just like that happened the first time, and we saw she had like 15 tickets in her hand, and she's like, oh my god, I won, I don't believe it. And we're all like, you know, rigged, that's total BS, but we weren't upset about it. Like, I was just like, you know, whatever, like, you know, yeah, it's kind of rigged, but I was just like, well, you know, there's still a chance for us. Well, the last prize, which is the biggest thing, it was like an Enzo from Assassin's Creed that they were getting, you know, giving away. And she wound up winning that. And then everyone was just like, yeah, this is total bullshit. And so then apparently the Funcom raffle, like as soon as we were done with that, people scattered and I went over to the Funcom booth. And there was people that came over from the raffle group to the Funcom booth and told them what happened. And they were like, and Funcom people were like, dude, we're not even allowed to participate in our raffles. That's total BS. And they shouldn't have done that to you guys. And we're just like, yeah, I know. And I mean, so yeah, that was like one of the really bad things about it. But I think I had to do a review on the East Coast Gaming Conference, and I mentioned that.
Were people like calling her out on it and saying that she had it rigged and that she was?
No, there was people shouting that it was rigged. I was one of those people.
Oh.
And like at first, it was a joke. Like it was just like, you know, that's kind of not fair to us. But I mean, it's not a huge thing. But then it happens twice in the same raffle.
How many people were there at the raffle?
Like, there's got to be like 40 people, like 40 or 50 people gather around. And their two biggest prizes went to the people who were hosting the raffle. Now, granted, the money came out of their pocket to participate, but they shouldn't have done that to begin with. Which is total, it's stupid.
What kind of stuff were they getting?
They had, like, the biggest thing is they had, like, our big Rabbids box that had, like, little miniatures of Rabbids in it.
Hmm.
Like, the other part of the auction, like, on that Thursday was, like, Assassin's Creed 3 stuff, like, for the game cases, the posters, and, like, an Enzo, like, a giant Enzo figure.
Yeah.
And then that Wednesday they had, like, a Gears of War poster signed. But the girl that I mentioned earlier was able to win. Because she showed me it, and I was like, oh, cool.
Hmm.
And, I just didn't think they were going to, like, you know, the people that were running it were going to, like, you know, try to win their own stuff. But, I don't know. I guess we're going to, for games being played, it was, like, Ghost Recon. And then Funcom's coming out with, like, an MMO zombie game. I can't think of the name. But, like, they had an area set up where you can sit there and play it. So I played that for a few minutes. It's kind of like, it's pretty much like Walking Dead, the MMO. Which is like a zombie MMO, basically. And it wasn't bad. Like, I got a shotgun that shot, like, fire blasts at zombies and stuff. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Then there was that, wasn't there a zombie thing on the E3 conference? Zombie U or something?
Oh, no, that's totally different from that.
Oh, okay.
That's, this is, like, more for, like, this is, like, on PC. This is, like, a PC game, since it's an MMO. So that's not Zombie U at all. In other words, it's a better game than Zombie U. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how Zombie U is going to be, but what were you about to say?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
Okay. But yeah, I think there was a keynote speaker from, like, cause I had to run the booth, like, when the game, or my friend's group had to go to, like, one of the keynote meetings. Which was one of the guys from Gearbox, or I think Bethesda, that was speaking about game design or whatever. And, I got to meet some cool people there, too. I actually got to meet the people who created Temple Run, which is, like, hugely popular on the mobile market right now. And they were working with my friend on some sort of deal or whatever, so because they had to go out to lunch and have business meetings for a couple of days. So it was, like, this really cool couple that, you know, they when I heard them talk, they were like, yeah, it's really cool. Like, we're in lines and for the theater, and people are over there playing Temple Run, and... You know, people, we're seeing people play the game that we made right in front of us. But, you know, we don't really say anything about it, so, obviously.
Is this the guy, is this the friend who made the RPG Saturday morning thing?
Yeah, that was, yeah, that the guy's booth I was watching was is done by the same guy, so.
Is he trying to get a mobile version of that or something?
I think it's their part of, it's more design, they're trying to get a huge, like, loan to help the company financially. And that's kind of like where they work helping out with them, or they were trying to get them to set up with that. So, because they're doing like the people who did, doing financially great as far as I know. So, but yeah, that's pretty much about it for the conference. Can't really think of anything else.
Yeah, there's not too much for me to say about Phoenix Comic Con. There were some guys in, like, Ghostbusters outfits that had, like, vacuum cleaners and a big van, and they had Twinkies for sale and stuff, but that was the only, like, interesting thing outside of the stuff I mentioned earlier.
You said you were trying to find William Shatner there?
Yeah, the Star Trek Next Generation cast was supposed to be there, and Shatner was, but they must have been somewhere other than the convention hall, because I didn't see them. This was also being held, they had some stuff at the hotel, too, next door, and I didn't go to that, so that might have been where they were.
Oh, okay. Did they have, like, a dealer's booth there, obviously, or a dealer's room?
Yeah, that was mostly where I was. They had a lot of comic booths and, bootleg DVD booths. They had some Victory Gundam models there, actually.
Was it like the Master Grades or the like old High Grades?
It looked to me like it was made like in the early 90s or something. It was like Gunpla or something.
Yeah, that sounds like the old High Grade units. Because I've got like a High Grade 1/100th of the V2. That's in a box in storage.
Are those hard to find?
I guess they're getting that way now.
Yeah. I have some that are from, like, Gundam Wing or Gundam X or something like that. But I don't think those are as rare.
Yeah, it's, like, they're basically because they're redoing they're pretty much redoing models now. So, like, if they redo a new one, it's obviously going to be really popular. I've still got... Like, regarding really high grades that they renewed, like, they've got, like, the Double Zeta that I got at Animazement last year, which I do have that built. And I've still got, like, I still got four of the model kits I need to build that I've had for, like, a couple of years now. The next one I need to work on is the Blue Destiny.
Yeah. At the Houston Comic Con, they had this Zeta Gundam that was, like, 2 feet tall or something. It was pretty... I think that was not a model, though. I think it was just, like, a figure.
Okay. I mean, if it was like a model, it would have to be a perfect grade, maybe.
Those perfect grades are, like, bigger or something?
The perfect grades are like 160. Yeah, they're 160 scale.
Hmm.
So, like, if it was 2 feet tall, then yeah, I can see that being a perfect grade. And but those are always like $200+ to get.
Yeah, it looked like it was probably expensive.
I think like some of the older perfect grade model kits are going for like maybe about 100 right now, or less than that. I think if you get it less for $100, you're getting like a really good deal.
Yeah. They also had one of those old Shogun Warriors, you know, what those toys are. They're also 2 feet tall. They made them in like the 70s.
You're talking about the Shogun Warrior like model kits.
They're not. They're not model kits. They're like 2 foot tall robots of like Raiden and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And they had one of those for 200 that I had got for 20 in Portland, but mine was missing pieces and stuff, and they were saying these individual pieces are worth $50 each and all this stuff. So
holy crap.
Yeah. I have all of those except for one. There's one that was only released in Europe. So I have like 7 out of the 8.
You just gotta find that one somewhere, somehow.
Well, I look on eBay and they have it, but there was one on there for like $3,600 in Italy, and it's like, no, I'm not gonna pay that much. That's crazy.
Oh man. Yeah, like for something like that, you have to probably your best chances of finding in the wild, or if you can go online and try to figure out, like go to like hobby shops in Japan and see if there's a way that like you can get it online that way.
Yeah,
the one like that, Yahoo Japan or something like that might be your best bet.
The two that I first got were I got them here in the 90s, and they were like $1 at a garage sale. So I always think I'm just gonna find it eventually that way, you know, just totally at random. If I could ever find it for cheap, it would be someone who didn't know what it was.
Is this like a domestic release of this, or is this an import?
Well, the ones that I have are all released in America, except for the Rodan. The Rodan was Japan only. And the one that I'm trying to find now was Europe and Japan only. So it would have to be like an import, so it would be harder to find here.
When did you get all the pieces? Like, how long ago was this?
Well, I got the first two in like the late 90s when I lived here, when I was really young. And then the other ones I've gotten in like the last 3 years. Because I got two of them when I was in Portland. I got the Godzilla one and Mazinger. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Mazinger?
Yeah, that's right. They had bootlegs of that at the con too, actually, of the TV show.
Oh, nice.
They had a lot of like old giant robo stuff and Sentai stuff.
Do you have like a link for some of the stuff that you have? I'm just curious what it looks like.
Yeah, there's probably a Shogun Warriors website. There definitely is. We could put the link or something on the on the post for the blog.
Yeah, that's because I was like wanting to show these off. So
okay, it's the Jumbo Mockender section on this.
Okay, these are from. Yeah, I'm just looking at the link. It's from WildToys.com.
Yeah. These were from Mattel in the 70s.
Okay, so you've got the Dragon, Mazinga, Godzilla, Rodan, Goldrek, Deimos, and Gai King?
Yeah, and Raiden. And I have all those except for Goldrek. That's the
okay,
one that's...
Okay, I thought you said you were missing Raiden.
No, that was the first one I got, actually. So,
oh, cool.
I guess that's all I have to say about that. We got 2 hours worth of stuff here between this and the other E3 stuff, so...
Yeah, we got... Like, this is pretty much its own episode with me talking about the ECGC and your convention, so...
Yeah, this could be separate from the other one. Two different specials
or
something.
We got... Okay, there's still, like... We still got that other episode that, like, we recorded 2 weeks ago or whatever that I haven't even begun editing.
Yeah,
because I like to put out the E3 one first and then put these other two out like eventually, because you're going to be gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is probably enough for the time that I'm gone, right?
Yeah, we got plenty of content, and then I'll just work with getting like Andy and them from the Anime Guru podcast on for our Double Zeta review.
All right, so I get back on the 25th, so 2 weeks from tomorrow. And then I guess we could record the Double Zeta and what was it, Char's Counterattack?
Yeah, we're going to do Double Zeta, Char's Counterattack, F91, and obviously I would love to cover G Savior.
Yeah, I gotta track down G Savior. I don't have that, but
I can stream it.
So. I have Char's Counterattack and F91 on DVD.
Yeah. I can probably spend the next couple of weeks just, like, rewatching those movies and taking some notes.
Yeah, I should watch the Japanese version of Char's Counterattack. I've only seen it dubbed where Char says, like, Tetons and things like that, you know?
Yeah, I've got the first DVD release of Char's Counterattack. Like, they had, like, the red casing with it, like the very paper one that's got the Neo Zeo Xeon logo on it.
Yeah.
Because I got that, like, when it first came out, like, 10 years ago, pretty much.
My F91 DVD, on the cover it says special 2-disc edition or something, but when I bought it off Amazon, it only came with 1 disc. So, the second disc is supposed to have, like, the commentary by the director or something, but it doesn't exist online.
I'm pretty sure I got the F91 that had the 2 discs, because I bought that at a Target, like, when I graduated high school, or I found it there when it was just, like, when it just got released.
Yeah.
So, I can definitely stream that sometime.
Yeah, well, I've seen that one sort of recently, like, a year or two ago. But, okay. But G-Savior, I only watched part of it, and then I fell asleep, and I never finished it, so.
Yeah, I still want to call Andy's total BS on the fact that he considers G-Savior a better movie than Char's Counterattack. Because leaving Char's Counterattack, I did stay awake the whole entire time, and I remembered most of what happened. And judging by those two factors, in my mind, how I justify things, when it comes to reviewing stuff, I consider that better than what G-Savior is.
I think he probably thinks Char's Counterattack, like, destroyed the Char character or something, but...
Well, I mean, they both possibly died that we might find out in Unicorn in the next year or so.
Yeah.
So, we'll see about that theory.
I think he's probably a clone or something. I have not seen episode 5 yet of Unicorn. I need to see that.
Yeah, we need to review Unicorn too, crap.
Okay, so I guess Gundam Month.
Dude, we might just tackle Kawajiri Month in like August or something.
Yeah, we may as well just make it like Gundam Summer, because we have like 4 different things to review still.
Yeah, Gundam Summer Break.
Yeah, really. So what were we gonna do for Kawajiri Month? Like Wicked City and what else?
Wicked City, Goku Midnight Eye, Cyber City 08, and
did he do Ninja Scroll?
What?
Did he do Ninja Scroll?
Yeah, Ninja Scroll. He's done other stuff too. Like he directed Lensman.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've seen Lensman, but I don't think I've seen anything else.
I have it on VHS, but
yeah,
I don't know. Lensman's a pretty good movie, actually.
It's a total Star Wars ripoff, but
I know that's why I think it's that good.
I know that's the appeal of it. Yeah.
Well, he also did that Highlander Search for Vengeance anime, which people either really like it or they really don't like it.
Oh, I saw that too on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it was on Sci-Fi. Like as soon as it got on Sci-Fi the first time, like 4 years ago, that's when the DVD came out. So I have the DVD to that.
Yeah. This is interesting. On Kawajiri's ANN page, it says his favorite director is John Carpenter. I don't know how they'd know that, but.
You know, I would. That's a good assumption to say that John Carpenter is his favorite director.
Yeah.
Because anything Kawajiri does is just like that, pretty much.
I bet he really likes The Thing, you know? Like the special effects in that.
Yeah. Because I think I could totally see John Carpenter directing, like, any of Kawajiri's stuff to live action.
Yeah.
Like, I would want to see a live action Goku Midnight Eye. Hey, so what much.
Was this? What was this thing you said in the chat the other day about, like, John Cameron wanting to make an anime movie or something?
I heard that supposedly he's been looking at doing a Battle Angel Alita live action for, like, since the early 90s or something, but he's so caught up on Avatar, I don't think it's ever going to be made. So someone else might as well take that.
Yeah.
I've read the first manga for Alita, and I've got the anime on VHS, and it's really good.
I remember hearing years ago that there was a Hollywood live action Ghost in the Shell that they were making or something. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, maybe I heard about that. It's been the only thing live action I've heard going back in the past decade was Tobey Maguire's Robotech movie. Supposedly the Weta Evangelion live action movie funded by ADV, which that will never happen. Supposedly the live action Akira, supposedly live action Cowboy Bebop with Keanu Reeves, and supposedly, I don't know.
Doesn't Akira have Keanu Reeves too?
I don't really know. There's supposed to be a live action Bubblegum Crisis movie, but I think that's pretty much disappeared, so I don't think that's ever going to come into play, which...
Yeah, I think...
For the best, it's good that it's not...
If they were making that still, I think when we talked to Woodhead, he would have known about it, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, he didn't really... I think we might have mentioned it to Robert, but he said there's been really no information on it, because it was huge when it was announced, but it was like they made all these announcements for this stuff, and now it's like... No, we're not. I don't think we're going to do it. And it's just, let's just put it in development hell for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I think the thing that's most likely to get made is probably Akira, because there's kind of regular news about that. But they've been making all these movies for so long that I don't think they're ever going to come out. Like, there was the Evangelion live-action movies that they were hyping, 8 years ago. It never happened.
Now, it's supposed to be funded by, ADV or something, through Weta, which is, a production 3D company. And yeah, that they had information about that in New Type USA, because I have those issues somewhere, which is in a box.
After ADV folded, I think there was some news that they had spent millions of dollars on getting the movie rights to make that Evangelion movie, and then it never even happened, so they didn't make anything back.
Yeah, and who knows? Apparently, Evangelion's license has relapsed. Yeah. For at least the TV series. If my 10 box set is $200. Online, and it's obviously probably worth more because Spike Spencer autographed it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Now is the chance to actually get it before it just goes outrageously overpriced. Which I haven't even checked the prices for that in 2 months.
Well, I got my. I think it's called the Platinum Edition. I got it.
Yeah,
I got that for $30, maybe $20 from Right Stuff during their Christmas sale 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah. I thought that was a really good deal then, and now it's probably way more than it was back then.
My brother got his Platinum Edition a couple months ago for $40. Yeah. I think it was used, obviously. And my 10 box, I got that 3 years ago for $40.
Yeah.
And this guy was I only watched one DVD and I just haven't seen the rest and I just want to sell it. So $40, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, I just watched through it again recently. I gotta get End of Evangelion though. I don't actually own that.
Well, one of my brother's friends bought a bootleg copy from Taiwan. He said it was legit, but apparently there's an issue with the disc where he got it and the last 5 seconds of the end of Ava movie gets cut out.
Yeah.
Especially the part where Asuka says that she's she feels sick. That got completely cut out in his copy.
Oh. Yeah.
So he got really gypped off.
A lot of those bootleg anime DVDs are terrible. The bootleg Mobile Suit Gundams I have, the Japanese version, the subtitles have all the wrong names. They don't use the right character names. They just, make names up to replace the characters. And the grammar is terrible, and it's... I don't think there was a good subbed release back then of Mobile Suit Gundam, but... Did they ever get a good subbed release of that?
I just know about the dub. I mean, I think the movies, maybe, when they had it on DVD, but I don't know.
Yeah, I have the movies subtitled, but I wish I I really should get the dubbed version of the movies, because don't they have, like, British Bright and stuff?
Yeah, those are like the original, I think those are the original ones, I think, by Bandai before, like, they got re-released. Yeah. And those are, like, I think those, you can only find those on VHS.
It's kind of a shame you're never going to get, like, any more Bandai stuff released here, because Bandai America has gone under.
Yeah, well, also that same movie had Steve Bloom as Char.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
We should do Battle Angel Alita maybe sometime, too. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's only, like, two episodes, right?
Yeah, it's only two episodes. Like, it's pretty much, it's by ADV, so, like, Spike Spencer voices, like, the kid in the second one. And, like, the girl who does Ritsuko in the TV dub, Sulu, does, like, one of the voices for one of the other people in that.
Hmm.
So, there's also, like, I have tons of ADV stuff we can always go through. I've got Power Dolls, which is, like, I think that came out, like, before, it might have came out after Evangelion came out in the States. But that's another one that's got, like, all the cast of Evangelion in it. Like, it's got Tiffany Grant, it's got Sulu, it's got Wendy Lee. Oh, yeah, it's like, because I listened to the dub of that, and I'm just like, man, this is, like, one big collection of, like, Evangelion voice actors doing another anime, which is not Evangelion, but...
Yeah,
the Power Dolls is really dumb.
It's kind of weird sometimes when you see, like, a show that has a ton of voice actors from another show. Like, Wolf's Rain had, like, a bunch of Digimon actors in it, and it, like, really distracted from it for me.
You're like, yeah, you watch this, and you're like, alright, so this wolf is gonna turn into a Digi-Wolf eventually, right?
Yeah, it's gonna, like, Digivolve then, right? It's gonna Digivolve and destroy the walrus or whatever, you know? Alright, well, I think I've got as much as we need. We've got 2 hours, 15 minutes here.
Alright, yeah, save it and send it through. Mission complete.
I am a lonely man, and I don't like being by myself. I'm a lonely man, and I don't like being by myself. If you can't be with me, baby, I'm gonna find myself somebody else. I am so disgusted.
Hokari Sweat presents Real Otaku Heroes.
Real Otaku Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Unwashed Convention Attendee.
Mr. Unwashed Convention Attendee.
You prove your dedication to anime, going from event to event, day after day, never once taking a bath.
You need a bath now.
Throngs of people clear the way to avoid your aroma, hoping that they don't have to sit next to you during the masquerade.
I need to sit somewhere.
Without you, everyone would have to settle with the sight of a 300-pound man wearing a Sailor Moon designed for a 14-year-old girl.
That's not Sailor Moon!
So crack open an ice-cold Bakari Sweat, Sultan of Smell. You get the best deals, because nobody is crowding you at your favorite vendor.
Mr. Unwashed Convention Attendee.